Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
Slug Magazine's Brewstillery is a local beer and spirits festival, and it's been celebrating Utah's brewers and distillers since 2018. This all-ages event has something for everyone to enjoy, offering tastings of local beer and spirits, and also featuring local food trucks, artisans, and music. Don't miss Slug Mag's Brewstillery 2024 on Saturday, June 15th at ArtSpace City Center from 2 to 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now through 24tix.com. This episode contains talk of heavy addiction and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Shh, are you listening?
This is Slug Soundwaves.
Bad Luck Brigade is a five-member band from Logan, Utah. Their first EP, called Anything in Moderation, released in 2022, and the group found local success playing shows in Salt Lake, Provo, and of course their hometown. They released a second EP in 2023 called Everything's a Fucking Mess, and thus began a succession of conceptual releases. In this episode, the band talks through some of their addictions that inspired the rap lyrics and the music, and what it was like watching each other struggle through them. Plus, they define their jazzy hip-hop sound and discuss some of the technicalities they've discovered together.
We are Bad Luck Brigade. I'm Kilo, I'm the frontman, the rapper who plays the keys.
I'm Miles, I'm the drummer.
I'm Walker, I'm the percussionist, bongo man.
And I'm Kaika, I play the bass and our guitarist. Forrester, also known as Fozzie Bear, couldn't be here today.
Yeah. Our genre is, we've kind of been playing with this idea of calling it shroom bap, so like boom bap with shroom influence. So I'd say it's 50-50 psychedelic rock and jazz hip hop.
You think of like 90s hip hop, less sampling, like to sample jazz, but instead we make the jazz.
Yeah, instead of like finding samples, we play the samples ourselves.
Yeah.
Music. Live hip hop.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's kind of like A Tribe Called Quest, but it's made by a bunch of blue collar dudes from Logan, Utah.
This sounds exactly like that.
Yeah.
It does.
Blue collar dudes who take mushrooms.
Yeah.
Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Metaphorically speaking. I feel like I'm kind of the nuclei in the influence of the hip hop. Bringing it here, and Kaika definitely is too. That's all we grew up listening to. We've been friends for a really long time. I've been rapping since before I even like seriously thought about making music. My mom really just played a lot of hip-hop in the house, and I kind of recognized pretty early I had a knack for words.
I've never really played this kind of genre of music before until like I started playing with you guys. I used to be like a punk drummer, so I came from like a totally different kind of background, but here I am doing it and I'm loving it. So
yeah. I think that's what makes it like really unique too, because like each of us kind of come from different backgrounds of music.
You can definitely tell I'm not like I didn't start as a jazz drummer, or like I didn't play a lot of hip-hop.
Yeah,
you kind of bring a lot of sounds that don't really like,
but you do have like your own sound.
Yeah, exactly.
That you do bring to the table,
and
I think each of us do.
I think we're all kind of like that, especially Forrester too. It changes a lot, but a big influence recently is, well, I just be listening to a lot of Volpec, and so I end up kind of taking on a feel from them a little bit.
I think a huge one is the album Spilligion by Spillage Village. It's definitely more produced than We Sound, but there's a lot of live instrumentation.
Like a live aspect to the whole thing too.
Live guitars, live bass, live keys, live drums, and just like a rapping masterclass every time. And when the sun goes down, we come up. Build lung capacity, respect the majesty. Capture magic in our own two hands. Drop some mushrooms, picture in two bands.
That's two G's in love. Rings to the finger like we want our own chip.
So I was making solo hip hop before we started the band, and I just remember, like, throughout all my production, I would always have a drum track, and I'd always have additional percussion for syncopation, and it just adds a different feel, you know? So, like, ideally at the beginning, I was just looking for a guy who could throw it down on the fucking shaker and be a cool dude, and Walker's that, and then he's grown into much more.
Yeah.
Like
the more cowbell skit.
But,
yeah.
And you really realize how much he adds when we like rehearse and he's not there.
Yeah.
And it just kind of sounds empty. And
it fills in those back parts. Like, say you're playing quarter notes on some hi-hats. I hit some 16ths or some basic.
I think that, like, three of us together really controls just... I mean, you hear it in music all the time. Like, your hi-hats decide the pulse of the song, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how fast it's going. But having that and then the shakers and then having my rapping, too. Like, we can make a very slow song feel very fast.
Yeah.
Or a very fast song feel very slow. So, we've got two EPs out. First one dropped at the end of 2022. That's Anything in Moderation. And then just this past October in 2023, we had Everything's a Fucking Mess come out. So, the concept of these albums is supposed to illustrate the experience of addiction through... taking anything in moderation until everything becomes a fucking mess. Walker suggested naming the first EP Anything in Moderation.
I've had that one on my books forever. Yeah. I thought that you can do anything. During high school, I started becoming like a psychonaut. I just like stopped going to church. I was like, hold on. Drugs aren't always so bad. You can play with them a little bit as long as you don't get hooked. And so I always had the theory of I can do anything in moderation. So I would try anything.
Yeah. But the idea sort of came to me to further develop on that when we were thinking about what to call the second EP. Unfortunately for most people, I know that like with education and taking substances these days, this isn't as true anymore. But for most people, moderation does not last long. It really doesn't.
No.
So Everything's a Fucking Mess was kind of inspired by the moment of... oh my God, this might be a problem.
Yeah,
this might be a problem. I think thus far we've started to paint a story of, at the very least, the first two little bits of enjoying a substance, so-called enjoying. And conceptually, the albums are kind of just tied together by that, by a loose theme. Life was kind of hard growing up. My parents were junkies. My parents still are junkies. No, hey, they're going to listen to this and be sad about it, but like, it's what it is. I think growing up with the introspection of all of that, like being an outsider's perspective to watching them grow up and then later having my own experiences with much lighter substances, but still substances nonetheless, just, you know, mostly weed and alcohol. It just kind of like put me in their shoes, and it was inspiring to write about. Getting to the point with weed where it was like I'm 16 and I'm broke and I have to sell other people weed to be able to keep smoking is a lot. It's a lot as a kid that doesn't really have a stable home life. You see kids that like live up on the hill in fucking Cache Valley that their parents are cookie cutter and they're perfect and they're just being shitheads because they're shitheads. Like, one day, you know, they'll get their lives together. I feel like I had to pull myself out of the trenches to go do what I loved. Or else I was just gonna, I don't know, end up in jail someday on a fucking weed charge or something.
You don't have daddy's money to pick you up.
Yeah, I don't have daddy's money to bail me out. Just when, like, shit kind of reached the boiling point at my mom's house and her using was really bad and you and I were doing nothing but getting high all day. And I wasn't going to school. You were still going to school. But
yeah.
I remember we were at different schools, too. I was at Fast Forward and you were at Logan. You haven't made it to Fast Forward yet.
Huh.
And we went back to my mom's house and I just broke down crying and I needed to pack my shit out. I was moving in with my grandparents and you packed my shit up for me and you disposed of every of hood rat contraband in there.
The bathroom, the dungeon.
Yeah, the fucking dungeon bathroom. Yeah. And I look back on that moment. I know that it was just like, it's like a pretty heavy moment of like weakness and vulnerability. But like, if you weren't there for that, I think shit would have been a little different for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, to see that, it was a lot, but there was like, I don't know exactly. Like, I was
Everything's
there.
Everything's a blur.
I was there.
I think, I
was happy to be there for a homie, like, to go through that shit.
Another thing, like, with the theme of, like, addiction, like, you said some of the songs, only some of them, like, a portion of it is, like, about the addiction.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're in an addiction... it's not always bad times.
It is.
Like, sometimes it's fucking great times. it's fun sometimes.
I think we've done a pretty good job at illustrating our experience with that spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our EPs almost line up like perfectly with the eras. The era of Anything in Moderation was just like we partied our ass off all the time.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point that I was just like, this is shitty.
Dude, can we keep going? Do we want to keep going?
Yeah. And then so, yeah.
I also would say I had an idea for like an album cover being a picture of my room at the time.
Dude.
I lived in that. I forgot about that. I was worried for you. I was worried for me, but I also was so drunk that I didn't really care. Because ultimately, it looked like if you ever watch Hoarders, you know, you can't see the floor.
There was stuff everywhere.
I never saw my floor, not until I moved out. And that actually took me more than a day and a half to clean the floor.
There was black mold everywhere.
I did not know about it, dude.
It was buried under garbage.
I went over to this guy's house to help him rip it out.
Bad Luck Brigade.
Dude, yeah.
Micah and you were all there cleaning for like, what, like 2 days?
Yeah.
We filled up like those big old industrial dumpsters.
I emptied
like two of those up.
Oh, no. By the time I got done, I had six
city
dumpsters I had filled with garbage.
It was ridiculous.
From the garage to my living room, because I had the whole basement to myself, and then my bedroom. My bedroom was the worst part.
I never even seen your bedroom.
Yeah, that took me a whole day and a half alone to clear that out.
I imagine.
I hadn't seen the floor since I moved in. Literally, the first thing I did was dump my clothes on the floor.
We should have taken a couple pictures down there.
I know.
I
wasn't functioning at all. I wasn't doing anything to take care of myself. I wasn't even brushing my teeth. Anyways, that's when everything became a mess for me.
I said I'm sick of being paranoid. One more slip and I might fill the void. Lonely nights I avoid it, get destroyed. I'm toyed with and then exploited. Shut down the shit you hoisted from out the toilet. It's so annoying, yeah. It feels so devoid of any feeling.
I feel like we're all doing pretty all right lately.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, within the last like 3-4 months, yeah.
About two months. I would say so. At least I am. At least I am.
I think I'm doing great.
Since I started this band with you guys, like life's been pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see you guys go through a lot of the shit that you'd be talking about, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't really there for that. I can definitely get down with the message Kilo's trying to send with these albums. And even though it's not like, you know, I'm not rapping and I'm not telling a story, you know, I don't really play any instruments besides drums, I'm making beats, but for me, I still feel like I still feel like I'm saying something when I'm playing the kit. I feel like I'm expressing myself.
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain, you know. But I get up there and I just feel like I'm communicating kind of with the rest of my band. And I can
people
feel
are fucking with it.
Yeah, people are fucking with it. It's really tight because it's almost like we're speaking another language to each other. The shit that you guys be playing, I understand it. And it's like I can respond to you guys. It's like we're having a conversation almost. And especially if you guys are getting really into it, it can get emotional, you know. I can get up there and really be feeling it. I can really be passionate, and it feels like I'm saying so much. I'm saying so much. All I'm doing is playing a beat, man. But it's like the emotion that I feed into it.
It's like the greater team dynamic.
Yeah, 100%. It's a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing.
Every time I go up there, it almost tends to become muscle memory after I've, you know, rapped it a million times. But when I'm fully involved in the moment, and I still think a huge part of it is like the ultimate coping skill. It is.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Yeah, it is. That is where I want to be. It's freer than fucking hell when I drop that first bar that makes people go, oh, and then just keep riding that wave.
Yeah.
And maybe the people at home who make music will know what I'm talking about, but it's like you get a hot flash. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get like adrenaline.
You get like a warm adrenaline though, not a like scary adrenaline. Yeah. It's just like I'm safe up here and this is still going and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Dopamine high.
The physiological reaction to that is way cooler than any drug I've ever taken.
Oh, tell me about
it. Yeah.
And after the show's over, you get bummed.
Yeah.
You get a little burnout.
That's when I get anxious.
You get the crash, dude.
And then that's when you start drinking.
Yeah. But. Yeah, no, you
honestly kind of.
The worst hangovers are post-show hangovers. Because it's like, I just killed this. All my friends are here at my house. My bandmates, my boys I grew up with. And it's my siblings. It's like, just shots for everybody. Let's all get fucked up. And then you wake up the next day and you're like, I don't have a show to look forward to next weekend.
Yeah, no,
and
that's.
The bottle's gone.
Dude, yeah. Why is the rum gone?
Yeah. Flask is more recently and definitely inspired by Walker. I'm listening to kind of a different era of hip hop, early 2000s, like Dirty South rap. So like with R&B influence, like lots of Nelly, lots of Paul Wall. And I just got a new keyboard and was fucking around with the new sound. And there's this very like digi shitty piano sound that we later used in the recording. But I started fucking with the Nelly melody to Dilemma. So the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. So I just wanted to go off of the feeling that that gave me. And we just did that jazzy walk down. The do-do-do-do-do. And those are just the same chords as the Nelly song. Lost in translation, I was speaking in tongues. Used to rally saving, now I'm ducking the run. I don't remember what it looked like. Devils in the details. One more sip and I guess we might derail. I could get close to peg if I could smoke a pack a day. Open the flash inside, set the lightning away. Guess I got a couple shots that I'm... If we're coming back to instrumentation, with my partner, with the shaker, I mean, we have the bant bant, bant bant bant. That doesn't line up clean. Like, typically you hear a shaker, you hear chicky 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 as you get the front motion, the back motion. That's all you get. So you just hear chicky chicky. Yeah. You don't get any, like, you can't really do triplets very well. There's no threes.
Yeah, you can't do crazy shit with your hands on that.
I took inspiration from, is it Smile from the Frowns on Exposure?
Yes.
Yeah. When at the very end, I can't remember what that is, like older, like, it's like African style, like shakers. We have two shakers end of a string, and they're shaking their hands.
I forgot what that's called, but that's what I sampled on it. Yeah.
And so I found out I can emulate that without having the shakers on the end of like a string. If I slap my hands, that gives me a different articulation, so I can articulate in motions of three rather than in just twos or fours. So I was able to pull that through and line it up with your guys' rhythm.
It's cool. Skunk is kind of a double entendre, and I think the first part of this double entendre kind of refers to girls that are potheads wasting their lives and how that kind of makes me sad. It's also about how are you smoking shit weed and wasting your life off of it, you know?
Because,
I mean, Kaika and I knew very young that we had really good weed. Really good weed. And I can think of a handful of times where I'd go to smoke with girls, and they would bring some of their weed to the table.
Bammer, like, dude.
This is horse shit. This is not good. That was definitely like a key point of inspiration, but I also kind of delve into the dichotomy of people seeing the world in black and white, which I think addicts tend to love to do. Everything is good or everything is bad. I say that on the last part. We kind of have this, when we were writing it, we referred to it as the baby hook. It's something that I repeat in the verse. Black or white, my nose, my lying, baby, I don't mind. And I lead into that by saying, that shit smells like skunk for three of the baby hooks. And then in the last one, I say, I hate this world and how it starts to smell like skunk. It's not black or white. In the hook, too, I say, you could see me on the road with all of my friends, dead broke as a joke. Man, we're down on our luck, but each time we need to try and get over the hump, we never settle for tricks. We smoke the skunk till it's in. And I think of, I don't know if you remember, my mom had a jar of weed that we were smoking out of.
That shit.
Shit weed. And it's like, even if I can't have good weed, and even if I judge all of these people for not having good weed that are smoking me out, I will still smoke shit weed. I am not above smoking shit weed. I am now. I don't smoke weed. But, like, I would, like, if I was, like, dead broke out of weed, I would turn my nose up at you and judge you for smoking fucking ditch weed. But I'd smoke the whole jar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have smoked that whole jar if we didn't get out of there. Like, for real.
Yeah.
You're about to hear Skunk from our EP, Everything's a Fucking Mess, in its entirety.
Settle for tricks and smoke a skunk till it's in. You can see me on the road. guilty in peace and a spoon on the light. And know you got a lot of shit you probably regret. Just forget about your things, smoke some Bama, get a higher. That shit smell like scum, but black or white. My nose, my line, baby, I don't mind. Why don't we kick it all night? Why don't we kick it all night? This dick do more than a backwood. With the weed going harder than the crack could. Crack your spine up through your back, break anxiety attacks. Not a matter of fact, I hate this world, now it starts. Still smell like scum, but black or white. My nose, my line, baby, I don't mind. Why don't we kick it all night? Why don't we kick it all night? Now you can see me on the road with all of my friends. Dead broke as a joke, man, we're done in our luck. But each time I need to rise and get over the hump. We never settle for tricks, we smoke the skunk till it's in. You can see me on the road with all of my friends. Dead broke as a joke, man, we're done in our luck. But each time I need to rise and get over the hump. We never settle for tricks, we smoke the skunk till it's in.
You guys can find us online at instagram.com/badluckbrigade. We post all of our shows there, post video content, post sick ass posters, shit posts, all of it. That's the hub for Bad Luck Brigade. In addition, like 2 weeks after this comes out, we're gonna have a kombucha release show in collaboration with Sun Tea Kombucha from Ogden. We got a flavor coming out. That's gonna be April 13th at the Boiler Room in Ogden. Once more, we got This, That, and Club Mungo opening for us. And we've already done anything and everything. Just keep in mind, something's coming.
If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.